it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
So, T. Haynes asks, I'd much rather have Hanley in right now.
Yeah. You know that,
you brought that up. Yeah, so would Sean.
I would. So would Pete DeBoer. Okay, let's have this conversation real quick.
Damn you, Calgary Flames, picking him up on waivers.
If Pete DeBoer was the GM, Nils Lundqvist would have been the one who was waived. And Hanley would still be in Dallas. So let's call it what it is. And if he was, I know Jim Nill said all the right things and everything like that, but it's, they lost a bit of their safety net, and it's, Joel Hanley could have played 12 reliable minutes tonight, and it would have been, and you know what, Miro Heiskanen, Gavin, was not great tonight. Like, I think we got to call it what it is, right?
Sure.
Like, he wasn't great. And I think the fact that he's got to take not just every other shift, but every other shift plus one.
Right. Yeah.
And has to do it with basically revolving partners. Like, I think one of the reasons that, Tanev and Lindell were very good tonight. I thought Tanev and Lindell were really good. I think part of Tanev and Lindell's success is the fact that they're playing with just Tanev and Lindell. Well, Heiskanen is effectively juggling both Suter and Harley. And those are two very different players to play with, Suter and Harley, right? So it's when Miro is on the ice with Harley, he's got a little bit more of a oomph on both sides. They're both going to go. They're both going to defend with their feet. Where when he's with Suter, Suter's going to be more of a deferrer. He's going to be more of sitting back a little bit more. And so you're asking Miro Heiskanen to play two different games with two different partners from shift to shift to shift to shift. And I wonder how much of this is wearing on his, it's not just the physical part of it, the minutes. It's not just the physical right. minutes. It's the tactical handling all of this stuff by your, like, of having to adjust your game slightly from shift to shift. And that's coaching, and that is something I put on coaching for this. So it's
All right. Dylan Moreland asks, imagine how good this team would be if Ben Pavelski hints. I would take Ben out of that one. Can't believe Hintz got away with a hold before his empty netter. And insert six defensemen were playing well. Yeah, we've been talking about that. And we've been talking about Pavelski and Hintz. But Dylan, thank you so much. Really appreciate the feedback. Millsy, the Stars are playing like the deeper team. The fourth line, again, is a difference maker. Some people owe Otter an apology for getting too emotional. Why it is special. Let's go. I'll just say this. Jake Oettinger is like Dak Prescott. The fact of the matter is the focus is going to be on him. Any goal that gets let in is going to be questioned. I've even gotten emotional about it because, you know, the last three games, two goals allowed. But at the same time, you're right, Sean, first game, he needed to be better. And that's the playoffs. You have to be elite at every game to really advance. Let's see. Sad Dallas sports fan. Great game. Just have to find a way to limit the breakaways from Vegas. Yep, absolutely. We talked about that. Tyler King, Miro Harley had a bad night. Is that because for some reason we were effectively only playing 5D men? Sean Shapiro just answered that for you.
Yeah.
Court, who's an awesome Spits and Suds listener, puts two Frosties together for cheers. And I say that, Court.
There you go.
I'm right there with you. Austin Davis, it seems that Craig Smith has played too well to come out of the lineup. Should Marchman or Fox have become healthy? Who do you think exits the lineup if both are available? Sean doesn't want to answer that because of the Fox-Marchman. I think it's a fair point. You have to wait and see what happens because there's, I would say, a more than likely chance both won't be available on Wednesday.
Yeah.
All right. Vance Monsieur, another question. Does Liam Bixel get called up as the 7D man now that the season is with Rogel is over? Okay, so Steven Meserve, who does a great job with 100 Degree Hockey, I would say follow at 100 Degree Hockey. You know him all too well. And him and I were going back and forth today. He actually talked to Stars Management, and they said, you know, give us some time on this. Sean, to me, and I don't want to get in a major Liam Bixel discussion, but I did want to say that I personally feel as though, you know, even though he's a young man, coming back would be a nice show of support for the Stars organization. However, he's played a lot of hockey.
I think Liam Bixel, I think there's a decision that Liam Bixel and his agent need to make where he should be back in Texas. I'm not saying he, like, it's the way, the fact, like, to give people a quick update on everything. So Liam Bixel, obviously we've covered it before, how he went to Sweden. He made the decision to leave Texas. He had the European assignment clause. That's his right. It's within his contract. Liam Bixel, turned down an invite to play for Team Switzerland at the World Junior because he wanted to commit to Rogala and everything like that. And he effectively has blacklisted himself from the Swiss national team for 2 years. So there will be no invite to the World Championships this year at the Swiss national team. There will be no invite next year for the Swiss national team, the World Championships. Now, I don't know how well that hatchet gets buried one way or the other. But to me, it's notable that it's only 2 years because 2020, and actually, I don't know exactly the terminology of it. I don't know how they treat the Olympics because that's technically 2026 is technically within, it's kind of weird. I'm not sure which way they're applying it, but Bixel has fallen into a positive season with Rogala. What happened in the playoffs was great there. It was really good. But at the same time, he hurt a lot of people's feelings. He made some people a lot of people in Dallas, while they're happy with how it turned out, the process of how it got there, they wanted him playing in Texas all year. And, like, to be clear, it's Liam Bixel. I wrote about this last week or whatever it was. Like, I pulled the numbers. Like, he was getting more power play time, more shorthanded time, more total time on ice from Neil Graham with the Texas Stars than he was getting in Rogala. So, like, you can't be like, oh, he would get a better opportunity. No.
Right. Yeah.
Texas was giving him every opportunity. So he should be on the next plane back to Austin, is what he should be. He should be doing that. He should be in a spot where he should be playing for Texas, and he should be playing for Texas in game one against Milwaukee on Thursday. That's what I think. That being said, and I'm not trying to make light of all of this, but it's just ridiculous. If you're going to play Nils Lundqvist for a minute 45, you might as well call up the kid and let him play 6 minutes and let
that's
him
a good
take
point.
Like, it's like, that's just where the Stars have put us with this. This is like, it is the whole, if that's what, like, to me, I don't think Bixel is NHL ready. There are several mistakes I watched, and I watched a lot of SHL playoff hockey this spring because I'm a psycho who decides that even though I'm going to stay up and watch four NHL playoff games that night, I'm also going to decide to randomly watch a game in Swedish at 2:30. Like any normal sane human. Bixel to me is there's a lot of mistakes and puck control issues he has where the game didn't punish him in Sweden. And what I mean by that is there'd be the turnover. There would be this where because European SHL hockey is so heavily regroup, delay, create with a slightly wider ice. There's less physicality. There's less hitting. There's a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers that Bixel made in Sweden that just kind of get forgotten, where in North America, they are going to be pounded into the back of the net. And I think that, and that's something that, he's not NHL ready. But I want to see him playing for Texas, even if you're Like, I know he played a lot there and everything, but it's, I think the kid and his agent need to realize at some point that it's probably for your better organizational good to do them a favor and do what they want sometimes. And I want to say, like, cause it's the whole thing where Jim Nill is a very forgiving manager compared to many. There's a lot of GMs who are less forgiving. But there is also a limit on patience at some point. And I think that is something that Mr. Bixel should think about.
Right. For those that are listening to Spits and Suds for the first time, Liam Bixel was the Stars' top draft pick in 2022. Big defenseman, can move the puck, and has a lot of eyes on him. And earlier this year, he exercised part of his contract, which allowed him to play overseas. Just for reference, and Sean, correct me if I'm wrong, Miro Heiskanen also had that, but declined and decided to stay, playing for the Stars organization.
No. So Miro Miro Heiskanen did have the European assignment clause in year one, but it never really was an issue or never really came up. Because he did not go to training camp that year because he had the concussion.
And so
he had the concussion. So he did not go to training camp as an 18-year-old with Dallas. That's why he was never here. And on top of that, basically Ken Hitchcock said point blank, I'm not playing an 18-year-old. So that was the Miro Heiskanen scenario. But there's been other, the Stars have done other European assignment clauses before. This isn't new. Like Miro had one, but it just wasn't, it wasn't something where the Stars were, it's technically a player decision a lot of the times with the European assignment clause, but the Miro one was the Stars and Miro being on the same page. This one was the Stars. The reason that didn't come out until, it's funny, like, cause it was November 1st? I think it was November 1st.
He was playing a lot of minutes in Texas.
Yeah, it was a November 1st. It was a November 1st assignment clause, I think. And it was either November 1st or December 1st. I can't remember which. This is a late night podcast, people. You'll have to forgive me for forgetting which month it was. But basically, the only reason it came out publicly was Steven and I uncovered it. Steven and I uncovered it. And the Stars basically had to say something because Steven and I reported on it. That's the only reason it came out at first, because the Stars didn't want it out because they were hoping that up until the very last minute, he would change his mind. And it was the whole, like, they were hoping he would change his mind and stay. And it's also funny too, because it's like we talk about Jim Nill being a very forgiving person and everything like that. The person you have to worry about pissing off in the Stars organization is the man in Vancouver. And if you are, and now it's
meaning Jim Tom Gilardi, the owner.
Yes. So Jim Nill is going to be forgiving and work with William Bixel's agent and everything like that. But at some point, Jim Nill no longer has the power to protect you from Tom Gilardi getting ticked off at you. Yeah. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Corndog and Jerry, a cool name. What are your thoughts on DeBoer going back to the normal line combinations for the back half of the game? How do you think they come out in game five? I think that now they have versatility and, he wanted to switch things up and kind of get the legs moving again. I think that was the reason. He was clearly seeing that, the line combos had stopped working, so he has the ability to do that, and they did show some life after that.
Yeah. Yep. It's not the line combos. It's just, I'm not sure whether it's the fatigue or the desire, not desire. I don't want to say desire. Please strike that from the record. But yep, whether it's the fatigue or the mentality. To me, it wasn't the line combos in the third period. It was something along those lines that you got to just try to siphon out if at all possible.
Yeah, they're very fortunate in the third period because, I mean, like I said, they were standing around at times gassed.
Yeah.
Let's see. Robbie at Robvious feels like they overcame some demons by winning a game that they didn't score first in. Can't wait for the pod. Thank you, Robbie, for your support. Appreciate it. Blickens at What the Blickens. Otter has been great all series long. I think Sean and I agree with you minus game one, but I mean, I think he's been really good. And that's.
Yeah.
That's what you need. Yeah. You know, probably overshadowed by Thompson. I did also want to mention, Sean, and not to get into it, you're the goaltender. Mm-hmm. So I will let you expound upon this, but you also have two different styles. And Thompson to me is very much like Hudobin in that, you know, he really makes saves look good. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's just to me, you know, similar to like a Ben Bishop is Jake Oettinger, where a lot of times, you know, he's a bigger goalie and, you know, he can flash, but he's not going to be the sprawl all over the place netminder.
Well, Thompson is 6'4". What's not,
I know, that's
not,
so that's, weird.
It's not like he's small, right? Like Anton,
I know.
Like you said,
I
like
Anton, he's
Anton Hudobin was listed at 5'11". And
right. But it's a different style, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, Thompson is an interesting case because he is very, he is not the, what's the right terminology? He is not a product of the goalie school, greater industrial complex. And I can't believe you keep getting me to go down these really ridiculous things.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Like I can't believe you keep getting me to go down these ridiculous.
I'm fascinated.
I know. Okay. So, there is a Thompson's story for people who don't know. It's a tremendous story. So he was a played in the WHL.
Yep.
And like most WHL players, though, he was not a pro level player. He ended up going and playing Canadian University. And he finished 4 years, played three or four years of the Brandon Wheat Kings, ended up going to play at Brock for Canadian University. And Canadian college hockey, for people to know, it's like, it's basically the last, very rarely does anyone go from Canadian college hockey to the NHL. I believe Joel Ward is probably the most famous one, ironically enough, an assistant coach with Vegas right now. So Thompson went through there and then he was in the ECHL and basically was undrafted guy who has kind of had to figure everything out himself. And he is, his game is very reflective of that. His game is very reflective of someone who has been a journeyman, someone who has had to find answers because he wasn't always necessarily had the quote unquote tools or necessarily given the tools.
Right.
Jake Oettinger, I want to take nothing away from Jake Oettinger's work ethic or anything like that. But Jake Oettinger, and he's even told me this, like Jake Oettinger was always the largest kid. He was always big. He had a goalie coach since he was 10, 12 years old. He is someone who is so fundamentally sound, going back to the fact when Jake Oettinger was 16 year old at the National Team Development Program, working with the best goalie coaches USA Hockey could find to work with him. It makes sense that he looks fundamentally sound. He is a product of the American hockey system. He is mm-hmm. supposed to be the best of the best we have. That is what Jake Oettinger is supposed to be. Logan Thompson is the kid who basically had to figure out himself, didn't have the goalie coach and everything like that. And it turned him into a more athletic looking goaltender. He plays a little bit more aggressively. He relies more on instinct than footwork. It makes for a style that can have flaws at times. Like Evgeny Dadonov banking a doink and a puck off your head tonight.
Yeah.
But it's at the same time, it can create for more active looking them. And energy wise, it's I think the Stars have overplayed Ottinger in the past. This year, I think they did a better job of it. But Ottinger's style is also more composed, more
right,
reactive, reflexive. You can play that for 65, 75 games between the NHL playoffs. And I don't think a goalie can play the way Thompson plays for 65 games. Now, he only played 46 games this year, and last year he was hurt and everything like that. And so that's why you need a 1A, 1B like they have in Vegas. So it is a tale of two goalies. It's the guy who is supposed to be there. It is the guy in Jake Ottinger who is the golden child, and it is the other guy who is at 27 years old, is in a spot where no one ever expected him to be.
Right. All right, let's run through these. At MB Tendy, no question for me tonight, but I'll leave this here. The team is special. What a win. The Stars have their foot on Vegas's neck. It's time to finish them off these next two games while we have all the mojo. Hey, absolutely. I will just say this. They are the defending cup champs. Never going to be easy. Each game is going to be a fight. Oleg was excited. We won games 3 and 4. Jeffrey at JLux 007 felt like what Dallas did in the third was classic Vegas, locking it down, constant chipping it out, change lines, repeat. Hintz needs that monster block and empty net goal bad. Hopefully this kick starts him. Fourth line shout out. Let's go. Absolutely. Bubba Knocker, what is your take on the line shuffling Pete DeBoer is doing? In my opinion, he's nailed some and been willing to change what's not working. Yeah. Listen, I've liked Pete DeBoer in this series. I've liked Pete DeBoer's way he's handled the team all year long. I know after a first couple of games, people were like, get Pete DeBoer out. But, you know, I am not on that train at all. I think Pete DeBoer, no matter what happens in this series, should stay. Sports by K-Twiz. Wyatt Johnston needs some national recognition. 20 years old is an absolute stud in the NHL. Hey, K-Twiz, I think he's getting it now, right, Sean? I mean, I think people are talking about him now. Yeah, which is great.
I think he was. I mean, the game three overtime performance that game. I mean, I think he's getting the national recognition now. It is the key question is always, what does national recognition mean sometimes? Because I think hockey people in general there's been some national hockey recognition for him. But he's kind of a victim of how good the Stars were in the regular season. If Wyatt Johnston was doing what he did for the Columbus Blue Jackets or the San Jose Sharks or whatever, he'd be leading the marquee because there was no one else to lead the marquee. Like that's the other thing too, where it's like, he's a bit of a victim attention wise of the Stars regular season success and being such a deep team. So
absolutely. Hunter Dallas Hockey asks, what tactical adjustments were made tonight that led to this? What a game, back in control of this. I'll say this, they're getting in front of the net. That's important. And as Sean mentioned, they are getting behind that Vegas defense, which is something that wasn't happening in the first couple of games. Christopher DeHardy, who knew that winning at home would be so difficult in this series? Very happy to have an even series again, but the team has to take care of business in game 5. As for Wyatt, that kid is special. Absolutely. Drew Butler, I wasn't ready to admit it because Miro is still Miro, but I am now. Let's see. There's just so much feedback, and I truly appreciate everything. Brian asked something that I actually thought during the game, Sean, which I think is a really good question. What is Vegas's ice like? Seems really choppy when the Stars first moved to Dallas. I will say there were some slips tonight. So I don't know if you noticed that, but.
The ice, I was there for the Cup final last year. The ice wasn't the greatest for the Cup final. I think a lot of times, I had a player once describe this to me, where it's like, a lot of times bad ice isn't nearly as our definition of quote unquote bad ice isn't what you think in our head. Because I think a lot of times people who look at and see bad ice, it's people like me who are playing beer league hockey and we actually play on bad ice. There's actual bad ice. NHL bad ice is typically better than some of the best beer league guys. And so, like, I think that's another kind of like thing too, to keep in mind with this, where every time I've ever, like, there's been games throughout my career, I've seen teams, I've seen people, I've seen games where I'm like, man, that ice looks bad or it looks choppy or whatever. And there's only one place where players have actually told me, yeah, you're right, this ice is terrible. And that's San Antonio, where the ice was absolutely awful, where the Rampage played. And part of the reason was the Spurs did not have the upgraded compressor all the way. So it was a straight up equipment thing. But
So in your movie, Sean, did you require the South Carolina Stingrays to have non-bad ice so you could play net and film all those scenes?
Well, we actually had a bad ice. We had a compressor malfunction while we were filming at one point. So it actually led to some unintentionally cool shots in the movie. There's some cool shots in the movie where it looks like all foggy and dramatic. We did not have the pyrotechnics for that. That was a luck. That was a making the most of a bad situation on 2 days. So,
by the way, let's get the plug in. The late game movie starring Sean Shapiro is out right now. So, listen, many of you asked the same questions about Foxa and Marchment. You know, we'll handle that. But I do want to thank everyone for chiming in. That's been awesome. This has been a terrific hour of post game. We do need to let Sean go to sleep so he can watch more NHL hockey. And he's been very gracious with your time. And by the way, let me get the quick plug in before we read the list of Sean Shapiro plugs. Craig Ludwig will join us tomorrow. And we will hail Craig Ludwig because he said, get in front of the effing net. So he will be hailed tomorrow, just like we hailed Sean tonight for picking out that Logan Thompson was a southpaw, and that has changed the series. In fact, if you ask the Dallas Stars, I'm sure it was Sean Shapiro's thoughts that made them say, you know what? Clearly. Let's go high walker. So follow Sean. Give him a follow at Sean Shapiro. Like I said, the late game movie. Really encourage you guys to subscribe to Shap Shots. It's a cheap monthly subscription, but Sean's giving you analytics you're not getting anywhere else. Post-game analysis, so that's really, really good. EP Ringside, D Magazine, where you can follow Sean and David and Robert, who are all contributors to D Magazine. Shout out to D Magazine for all their Stars coverage. And that's going to do it for tonight, my friend. Always nice to bring a victory edition of Spits and Suds. You're a beast. Hope you get some sleep.
I'm hoping so, too.
And once again, Craig Ludwig joins us on tomorrow's pod. We'll keep producing these for you because you keep asking. Thank you, one and all, for your tweets tonight. If we didn't get to you, it's because a lot of times you guys are asking the same questions, which means your knowledge is awesome. So thank you so much. I have so much energy. I don't know how I'm going to fall asleep tonight, but it's because of you guys, and you guys are propelling us. We've had a record April, and thank you so much for listening to Spits and Suds, and we will talk to you in just a few hours. Have a great day, everyone.